We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's I Lost It by Lucinda Williams. From her classic album of the modern South, Orwell's on a Gravel Road.
All right, you asked on Twitter last night, you asked the folks to help you figure out what genre of loss that was. Have you settled on the appropriate genre?
Yeah, I think I'm going to write a column about this. It'll be after everyone has stopped caring about it, but such is my lot, I guess. I was going to write something different for tomorrow, and I decided to table that and do a little do something on sort of these recent string of losses. I haven't finished writing yet, so like it may be different when I write it. But I think it's a variation on the gut punch. It's like a special edition of the gut punch, sort of.
Someone suggested that it was like a house being swallowed by a sinkhole. I think that fits in that you don't expect it. And yet it sort of takes a while, and there's a sort of inevitable, once it the sinkhole starts, there's probably a feeling of inevitability that the house is going to be swallowed up. I didn't think that was a bad metaphor.
Yeah, I mean, to me what was notable about it was it wasn't the one thing. It was like a series of gut punches. It was like three hard jabs to the gut, basically, instead of one big punch. And so you had the missed free throws. I mean, you reach the point where you think you've won the game, right? And that's what sets up the gut punch. And then you have the missed free throws, and now you're starting to worry, and you're sort of anticipating, like, something bad's going to happen. And then Luka makes the shot, and maybe this was different on TV, but in the arena, like, I don't think anyone really knew if it was a two or a three. Like, we were all looking at each other, that was a two, right? That had to be a two. And so he hits the shot, then you're not sure if you're going to overtime or not. At least in the arena, we weren't. And then you find out it was the three, and so it was like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, on TV, it was a double gut punch. It was pretty clear. And so on TV, there's no question, it was a double gut punch. Of course, the truth of the matter is, with all of these devastating losses, there's always a series of things you can point to, right? There were two, and the truth of the matter is, of the two, the free throws and then the shot, the one that was vastly more improbable was Grayson Allen missing those two free throws. I mean, that was nuts. You know?
It would not have been that improbable for him to miss one, in which case the game would have gone overtime.
Right.
He still may lose the game. But yeah, him missing two, 90% free throw shooter, misses two. And then, I don't know. I mean, Luka making a game winner is not certainly in no way improbable. But the nature of that shot was wild.
The nature of the shot was wild. But it wasn't because it was Luka, and because he is a ultimate shot maker. Because I mean, talk to Portland about a last second shot like that he had against them. It's to me different than a half court heave that bang bang goes in like. That's Luka. That's the killer.
There was an anticipation. I mean, it wasn't. I think a lot of people considered it a 50-50 proposition at best, right? It wasn't like the Mavericks might get a miracle. It's that like Luka may kill you, right?
Right. It's that Luka may kill you. So I will say. So after the game, the Grizzlies, you know, show up in their post-game press conference. And Taylor says, feel great. Vibes really good in the locker room. And then Ja shows up and says, everything positive from that game. And some people, I guess there's different ways, some people objected to it. Like, you can't imagine that Larry Bird or Michael Jordan would have said all positive from that game. So there's the people who want them to be throwing chairs. Then there's the theory of, are they lying to themselves? Are they just whistling past the graveyard? The truth of the matter is, though, I think, and it's a little different with Taylor Jenkins. He's always putting the, you know, right spin on things going forward and whatnot. I think they really did come away. My view is, if you lose in that way, in the postseason, it's just you're gonna think about it forever. If you lose that way in a game 53, like, what is there to do other than shrug and say, like, that's, it's not like the Knicks game where you booted it, where you really should be mad at yourself. It was so wildly improbable that I don't even know how long your heart can be broken. You just sort of tip your cap to them and say, well, that's crazy, and go on. To me, it was almost, it was more painful because the stage, because they had it and all of that, but there's much less to be angry about than the Knicks game, for example. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think there's a context here. If you lost 3 out of 4, and all three, and this is what I may write about tomorrow, all three of those losses are like in the genre of notable losses, of types of losses, right? Not run-of-the-mill. And to have three of those in your last four in the middle of a playoff race, I think it's pretty rough, and I think probably maybe should be a little bit more frustrating than maybe it seems. I think part of it may be that even losing three of those four in sort of unique fashion, there's still eight. I mean, they haven't lost any ground in the standings, there's still eight. I don't know if that game, that instead of being one game back in Dallas, and like you're really thinking about seven, and who knows after that, you know, now you're 2.5 games back, and it still seems like, you know, you're busier fighting off the people behind you than looking up. I don't know that they internalize the idea of, like, hey, maybe we can be 7 or higher. My guess is that, like, their focus has been, like, where everyone's focus has been, of, hey, let's make the play-in, and they probably feel good, pretty good that they're in a good position to make the play-in. And it probably maybe if that made the middle turn to, hey, maybe it can be better than even that, right? And I think if you had sort of fixated on the better than that, then it's more disappointing than it is if you're focused on being a play-in team.
I'll go even further. I don't think, I mean, listen, what was, like, and maybe I'm, here's the truth. When they talk about the long view and being focused on the process, and that's what matters to them, I believe them. Like, let me finish, because I think what happened last night is the reason they were not devastated is because they said, we played great. That literally, that was a microcosm of it. We played great, and so we're happy. And maybe it's crazy that they look at it that way, but that's what they said, and that's why I believe that's why they were happy, because we played great. And so that's what they're focused on. They're not focused on play-in or not play-in, or they're not they're focused on how did they play, which is a little weird. And when you're in the playoff race that they find themselves in, but I think that has been their focus and was their focus last night.
I mean, it gets complicated when you trickle down from, like, management to coaching to players, right? I think there's a through line in we're focused on development, we're focused on the big picture. But at some point, as you trickle down, what's right in front of you becomes more pressing. Like that is just natural for, I think, at some point, coaches and players care more about what's right in front of them, and the front office takes a longer view. I think it's a matter of the evolution of this team and when you start to turn the corner relative to expectation. And I said at the beginning of the season, like, that's a year from now. That's next season. This is the last season without playoff expectations for the Grizzlies. Well, I think that was true at the beginning of the season. I don't think that necessarily remains true through the end of the season, depending on what happens in the standings, right? It could be that, like, that level, that weight of expectation doesn't come until next season. But it could be that, like, it pops up its head, like, while you're playing games this year. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not complaining about their reaction. I just think it's at some point, I think, from whether it's fans or players or media or coaches or whoever, there will come a point where the dial has to turn a little bit to, like, you know, you're not just happy to put in a good effort, right? And I think that dial turning is a sign of positive growth and evolution. And I think we're maybe not too far away from that dial turn.
No, it's very clear. Like, at the beginning of the season, I would not have been necessarily disappointed if they hadn't, you know, made the play-in. I might have been a little bit, whatever, depending on what had happened during the course of the season. Now, there's no question that would be a disappointment. But I guess I think it's striking that it wasn't Zach Kleiman last night saying, hey, we played great, we're happy, Longview. It was John Morant, you know? And I don't think he was lying. Like, I think some of it was a little...
I also think part of that,
uh-huh.
If you want to be, like, mad about what happened, you're not going to be mad because Luka hit a crazy shot, because he's
right.
Luka. You'll be mad that Grayson Allen missed two free throws. And I think properly, they don't want to express displeasure at their teammate missing two free throws, because any of those dudes could have stepped to the line and missed two free throws.
And, well,
right?
And particularly when he was so fabulous all night long. Like, he was one of the reasons they were in it. And so...
So to stomp your foot about the loss, that's probably the main thing you'd be stomping your foot about. And I think properly they wouldn't want to do that.
How about stomping your foot about the previous possession by Ja? They'd made the stop on Luka, and then Ja goes in and gets blocked by Luka on kind of what was, it looked like he was less, you know, I don't know. Like, to me, that actually, as much as anything, you can't be, your killer instinct or whatever it is has nothing to do with whether you make those free throws, right? Like, he's a great three-throw shooter, stepped to the line, wanted to make three throws, and then the crazy shot by Luka. I think you could look at the previous possession by Ja where he kind of, I don't know. I don't think it was the most efficient use of that possession, and that's where started slipping
away. When you lose a close game, there tends to be one thing that you just focus on, which in this case is this free throws. But you're right. There's always multiple things you can look at. I mean, you look at Luka's shot; he's a crazy shot. But like, the inbounds comes, and to me, Valanciunas is a half step slow.
Well, why is he in the game?
Trap. I mean, that's one thing, but to me, like, him being in the game doesn't stop him from reacting more quickly. If he reacts just a little bit more quickly, then maybe Luka doesn't slip through and get a clean look, right? And so you can point to all kinds of stuff. They lost a close game on a crazy, you know, combination of events at home against a good team. And I agree, it's not like hang your head and cry, but it is like that was a missed opportunity. Like, they would have been one game back of Dallas. In the standings, and like, guess what? Like, Portland at six is not a world beater,
right.
And so, like, you know, I mean, again, I said at the beginning, this is the last season of the Ja era without playoff expectations going into the season. But like, when you see the ring in front of you, there's no reason not to try to grab it.
Yes, they should. It was a missed opportunity, and just like the Knicks game was a ridiculous missed opportunity, absolutely ridiculous. Like, they could be ahead of the Dallas right now. So it's absolutely it's also a missed opportunity from some site. I mean, it's funny, like, they played so well for the bulk of the evening, and yet here we are today, and all anyone can talk about nationally is Luka. Like, it's just, and it did occur to me that what maybe frustrated me more than anything was, you play that fabulously, and in the end, you're just a foil for Luka. And this is probably the Buffalo Bills fan in me coming out, but I have some fear, because he is that kind of generational killer player, that I don't want the Grizzlies to be I don't want him to be the Cleveland Cavaliers and Craig Elo to Jordan's, for the for the next 10 years. And you can imagine that. Luka is that good. He's just tremendous. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the one thing, I mean, that was a tremendous basketball game on national television among two rising teams. But it was not quite like the showcase of the future you might hope. Because from the Grizzlies' perspective, I mean, you know, they got there on the back of Grayson Allen bombing threes and Desmond Bane to a secondary bombing threes. They didn't get there on Ja and Jared. Like, Jared was not in the game. And Ja was okay, but he wasn't. Okay. He had 17 points, 5 assists. It was a slightly below par Ja game, right? You didn't get the big Ja
No, you got that one dunk, which was just fine.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah. No, you got the one dunk, which was a wide open dunk. Like, he jumped high, but that's about it. He had a couple nice moves, but no, there's no question. It was not that. It actually makes what really strikes you, what struck me watching that game was how many good players the Grizzlies have. Like, they have.
That's the story of the season. To me, that's the story of the season for the Grizzlies is the depth of competent players who fit together, right? And when you apply that to this crazy season with all its compression and just not really having bad players like at all, going 10 deep and not playing bad players for the most part all season, and having them be like well-coached players who like fit together. And I think that depth and that sort of competence and purpose that they've had all season has really sort of buoyed them over the course of the season. I think this is not a team that we're like, John Morant's put them on his back and carry them to whatever. It's just having good players for 48 minutes every night.
Is that in some ways limiting? It's a huge credit to the front office, right? The fact that they have a whole bunch of good players who play well together and fit together. Jeff Van Gundy kept talking about what a well-constructed roster it is. I mean, it's just, right. On the other hand, that's not typically how you win championships or how you even get the Western Conference Finals. And you can't necessarily, you can afford them all when they're on the contracts that they're on, but you can't afford them all going forward. Like, and so it's an interesting way that they have won. And it's not really like they do need Ja to put them on their back at times. And they do need Jaren to be awesome. I don't know. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, the ceiling of this team is based on the Ja ceiling and the Jaren ceiling, and based on their ability to raise the talent level at one or two other spots, whether that's through like internal development and like hitting in a draft pick or whatever, or that's via consolidation of like, you know, two or three for one or kind of thing. And at some point, like, there's no reason they can't continue to have great depth and like 12 good players forever, but it won't be the same 12 good players. It'll be you're losing some of these guys because you can't afford to pay them once people know they're good and they become free agents. And you've got to go out and find the next Xavier Tillman in the second round and the next Desmond Bane you trade for on a cheap rookie contract and, you know, the next John Conchar you pluck at as an undrafted free agent. So, there's nothing to prevent you from having, like, as many good players as you can fit on a roster, but you got to keep finding them. They won't be able to keep all these forever.
San Antonio keeps doing that, though. Like, they kept rotating good players through. If you're good management, you can do that. Like, it's not easy, but you can. I mean, we've seen it. So, let's see. Other notable things from that game. Kyle Anderson wasn't good. He had a big three-pointer at the end, though. Like, that's why it felt like, to me, everyone did some good things. Yes.
That was, like, my favorite little, like, sort of hidden. I tweeted about it. That's one of my favorite sort of little moments of the game. There was this little like squiggle of struggle and breakthrough that happened in the middle of the game with Kyle Anderson, where knowing that he keep missing threes, from my vantage point, it's like as soon as the ball left his hands, he started running in to get the rebound. It's like he knew he was missing and had no confidence whatsoever. And he was not sticking with the shot. He was just letting it fly and immediately going in and trying to rebound it. And then that last three he took, he didn't do that. He went straight up, landed straight down, and stood there and watched it go through the net, and that was the one third his request. That was a nice little sort of little personal arc for him in the middle of the game that sort of gets washed away by the fireworks at the end.
And Jonas was tremendous again. I love the pass, Desmond Bane to Grayson Allen. Obviously he's not a playmaker per se, but I thought that was a lovely moment. Anyway, it was fun, and it was devastating in a way that is to me manageable. But you're exactly right. Of course, now they go on this road trip, and they're in, as you point out, they're still in eighth place, and that's fabulous, but they're heading on this road trip. They could have had a little buffer here, and instead they do not, and we'll see what the future brings. All right, is your column going up today, Chris, that you're writing as you reflect on these losses, or is it tomorrow? When do we expect it?
That is not... That's mostly out of my hands. I mean, I'll finish it when I finish it, and then...
It'll go up when it goes up.
It'll get put up when it gets put up.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Jeff Calkins Show.
Jeffrey, we asked the question, what best describes your feeling in the wake of last night's loss? What's the current scoreboard?
Jeff, the current scoreboard, and I could not have been more wrong. 37% say great effort.
Wow.
32% say heartbroken. 26% say frustrated. Only 5% are angry.
5353776. We'll see how y'all are feeling. Call in and let us know. We got Chris in East Memphis. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Jeff. And I wanted to say, you spoke in my sports economics class in 2008 or 2007 at the University of Memphis.
At the University of Memphis. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes. But in reference to the game last night.
How was I?
You're a little boring. No, I'm just kidding.
I was freaking boring.
No, you were great. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah, last night. I appreciate that. I remember it well. Yeah. Okay. What did you think?
So I feel like Grayson Allen's got to go. He's like he's a compromised asset for the Dallas Mavericks or some other NBA team. The way that he lost that game, I'm just very suspicious. And until he proves otherwise,
you know, JJ Redick's on the other side. Maybe he mind controls Grayson Allen. You know. Oh, you think he is an asset? He has the certain smug features of Mark Cuban, right?
I agree, and also Ted Cruz. But until he proves otherwise, he is a compromised asset and cannot be trusted.
Okay, thank you, Chris. That's a rational take. Appreciate it. 5353776. We're getting right to the bottom of it here. We go to John in East Memphis. John, you're on. Whoops.
Hey.
Yeah, hi. How you feeling?
I'm okay.
That's about right.
What it really makes me wish for is, darn it, don't Seattle and Las Vegas need a team? And they'd have to realign the conferences. I understand that. And it would be a shame to not be in the Southwest with Dallas.
You want to be moved. You want to be moved. You want to get the hell away from Doncic. Is that what you're saying?
I'm thinking that if we were in the Eastern Conference, first of all, it's easier for Ja to be an All-Pro. And if we were in the Eastern Conference, we'd be fighting to stay out of sixth rather than to try to get to sixth.
There's no question. The East would be better. You're ready to up and move. All right.
Yeah, and those poor people in Seattle have been deprived for so long.
They have.
Long.
No, you're exactly right.
They deserve a team.
And then Memphis needs to be, I believe, let me ask you this. Which side of the Mississippi River are we on?
I believe we're on the east side.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Open and shut case. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. So far we got Grayson Allen is a compromised asset, and we got to move out of the Southwest.
Yeah.
We go to the phone number is 5353776. How you feeling after last night's loss? Bobby in Midtown. You're on, Bobby.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, we've been better.
Yeah, I could have got a little more sleep last night. That would have been
that
a lot
too,
better.
That too, yes.
I was so wound up after that game. It's not like you can just say, okay, turn the TV off and go to bed. I had to sit there and stew for a while.
Yeah, did you drink?
No.
No, you just stewed. I had to write about it, so I ended up going to bed about 2. I'm suffering a little bit right now. But, that's another problem. Yeah.
If it would have been a Friday or Saturday night game, I would have probably drank. But I was just really PO'd that they didn't arrest Mark Cuban for dancing because dancing doesn't start till Saturday.
That's an excellent point. Dancing, the new health directive, dancing is allowed Saturday. Absolutely not allowed. He should have been arrested. You make a fine point, Bobby.
But I may be going against the grain, you know. I wish the Grizzlies and Taylor Jenkins would be a little more passionate about these losses and let it. Right. I'd like for it to bother them a little bit more because I keep hearing next year and playing for the future and all that. But hey, I like to win every game we can. I mean, if we get blown out, it doesn't bother me. But I want to win every game we can. You know, I want to be in the best position for the playoffs. I want to go as far.
But don't
as
you
we
think
can
they wanted to win? They wanted to win that last night.
They played like they wanted to win it. But I mean, as far as you know, just kind of blowing it off. I know they're not going to win the NBA championship, but right. I want them to go. I want to.
I've
see
heard
them
that
play
sentiment. Some people want them to be. Listen, would Larry Bird have blown that off? Would Michael Jordan have blown that off? Would they say, "Hey, listen, we played great. Really pleased with how we played, and we're gonna
little more killer instinct.
Yep.
I can
see that. Maybe if they had more of a killer instinct, they would kill more. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I think that is the other. That's the flip side of this, Jeffrey. Would you imagine that Jordan or Bird would have come in there and said, all positive vibes?
Oh, that absolutely not.
0%. They would not have. They would not have said what. And it's one thing for Taylor Jenkins to say it.
Sure.
For Ja to come in and say all positive vibes, all good.
No, I completely agree with you.
I have.
Right. You're not.
I'm not from the I need him to break a chair, but I understand that sentiment. I understand that sentiment for those who believe that. We go to Kathy in South Haven. Kathy, you're on.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
I was listening, but I wasn't going to call until I heard that guy say that we needed to get rid of Grayson Allen. What kind of insanity is that?
I think he was joking.
I love Grayson Allen.
I think, Kathy, I appreciate you sticking up for Grayson.
I mean, a 91% free throw shooter.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean he's a 100% free throw shooter. No one has. And, you know, we have the youngest team in the league. What more could our guys have done? Yeah, it was a gut punch. And I tell you what, he hit that shot. They verified it. I turned off the TV. I didn't even want to see the post game. It's like, okay, I need to nurse my wounds for a while. But I am ride or die. I love my Grizz. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, that's my team.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. And so does the Allen family.
Thanks,
appreciate it. I think that was mostly facetious. The compromise.
I think he was also making the case that now's a good time to sell.
Well, that's possible too.
Stock's
compromised
high.
Asset. 5353776. I do think turning it off immediately is probably the way to go. Is absolutely the way to go there.
Like, I did not watch the postgame show.
Don't subject yourself to any. In fact, I would urge listen to 92.9 because you'll have sympathetic people. But don't listen or watch any national media today at all for your own mental health. We go to Frank in Midtown. You're on.
All right, Jeff. Frustrated on three fronts.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Frustrated that we lost the game, but we lost the game each time I saw a camera shot, a FedEx Forum with about 1,000 people in it, imagining what the crowd would have been had there been a full FedEx Forum last night. That's first thing frustrated.
Okay.
Second thing frustrated.
Uh-huh.
I am absolutely. Do other NBA teams run their injury reports like the Grizzlies do? Because I am absolutely sick and tired of not knowing what in the world is going on with Justice Winslow, DeAnthony Melton, we got the little,
Don't we know what's happening with Jaren Jackson Jr. now? We know he's going to be back.
Jaren Jackson, we do. I'm not as frustrated with him. I'm just frustrated he's not playing. The other two, what is wrong with Justice Winslow?
What is it?
Thigh soreness.
Thigh soreness. Let he who has not had thigh soreness cast the first stone. He's got thigh soreness. I agree. It's frustrating and it's an issue. I
mean, then do other franchises?
Yeah, everyone. At this point, a lot of people tend to be very vague about their injury reports. I'm not sure they're as squirrely as the Grizzlies are. What's wrong with Melton, Jeffrey?
What about Melton?
Melton is. I want to say he has calf soreness. Let me double check.
There's a lot of soreness going on.
There's a lot of...
Okay, and then the last frustrated part is that how awesome would that win have been last night?
That's the thing.
When we go out on this baton death march we're about to start on Friday.
If you get more frustrated when you think not just about, okay, now everyone's fawning over Luka, but of what could have been for the Grizzlies. Honestly, the truth is they should have beaten the Knicks. They should have won last night.
Yeah.
And then they'd be in a very different position
spot.
Instead of just being a foil for Luka. Well, I think you are appropriately frustrated. Thank you for calling in. 535.
Melton has left leg soreness.
Left leg soreness.
Correct. And Justice has right thigh soreness. I don't know if I specified if that was right or left thigh, but it is a right thigh.
The left thigh, the right leg,
sore. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. I, by the way, am not anyone. I also don't buy into the conspiracy that anyone should have been playing last night. I just, you know, the crazy ass shot. I'm frustrated too. 5353776. Jesse in Midtown. You're on, Jesse.
What's up, Jeff? How you doing today?
I'm okay. You?
I'm doing all right. This game hurt a little bit more than other games.
Yes, it
just
did.
Because I had Grizzlies money line and under 226.
Ooh, a double loser.
And three and put it the W and over 226 in one shot.
Oh, so, my God.
Luka took my money twice last night.
I respect you, Jesse, because you know what? You saw you could have had the points there. You could have left with a winner, but no, you left it on the line.
Man, I could have had the plus two spread. I wanted the money line. It was only a dollar more. Only bet $10 and $20, but it still hurt. It's the principle of the matter.
I'm with you there, Jesse. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's yet another reason to be frustrated. 535-3776. How are you feeling in the wake of last night's unfortunate events at FedEx Forum? We go to Scotty and Bartlett.
Hey, how we doing today?
Good, you?
Oh, I can't complain. Last night it sucks to lose, but I mean you're losing against a team you're probably going to play in series with, or however that goes, but without your second best player. I mean,
well, that's the thing. They had Kristaps Porzingis back. You didn't have Jaren Jackson Jr. back. Impressive effort.
That's what I'm saying. Like once you get him back, and by the time we get him back and going, and by the time you play whoever you're going to end up playing in the play-in series, you're not going to be. You shouldn't be losing games. You know that you're not. You're unfortunately losing without your second best player.
I agree completely. Still stunk the way it ended, but that's why I think. Listen, I think the Grizzlies felt the way they did in the post game because they knew they played a great game. Like, I think they were genuinely pleased with how they played. No, they didn't like to lose, but I think that's why they played a great game without Jaren Jackson Jr. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. 535-3776. How you feeling in the wake of all of this? Oh, look at this. It's Jacob in Champaign, Illinois. Jacob, how are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I'm okay. How are things in Champaign?
They're getting better. You know, I got a couple things about last night.
Okay.
One, we're playing without a couple of our best players in De'Anthony Melton and Jaren Jackson. So what does that say about our team, that they're fully healthy, yet we're missing guys and we're losing by one?
There you go. That's the spirit. Yep.
And my second point is going to be, if there were anyone else other than Luka hitting that shot, I would be absolutely heartbroken, angry. I would tap that boat every single which way possible, because that would be insane. Also,
yes,
I know. I hear Jeffrey talking about how when a team covers, they got good kids over there. The Grizzlies covered plus two. They got good kids over there at the Grizzlies.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you for being a loyal listener to Jeffrey's wisdom. We appreciate it. That is Jacob in Champaign, Illinois. All right, we're going to have to, after if you're on, we'll get to you, but we can't take any more because then we got to get to Chris Harrington. So we'll go to Ricky in Oak Haven. Ricky, you're on.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
We're okay, I'd say, cause all things considered.
You know what? I'm just saying, I was looking at the game last night. I wasn't mad at the game. I was mad because as a team, we still taking bad shots. I feel like they should have went inside to JB, JB, JB. And until Taylor Jenkins get a more hold on the team, the players do what they want, seem like. That's how they play. It's a shot they're taking. And sometimes you got to have just a little bit more structure.
A little more discernment. I will say, whenever Ja takes a three-pointer, I'm thinking it's a bad shot. That is one, you know. But beyond that, I don't think that. I mean, they move the ball. They're leading the league in paint points.
They move it real well, but still, it should be a little bit more range
like
on with the coach.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Ricky. We go to Bob in Germantown. Bob, you're on.
Let me say I was disappointed with the loss, but
yes,
if you caught three, you wanted that shot by Luka to be a three and not a two.
Yeah, you did not want overtime.
I did not want overtime.
No, you did not. You did not want to take your chances overtime. Yeah. No.
If you were going to the guillotine and having your head cut off, you wanted it to be complete.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
That's what I can say.
Thank you.
That's what happens when you...
Silver lining there.
Well, you have to have a different perspective when you take points or late points. You're looking at your bench. You're not looking at the outcome of the game, that's for sure.
Thank,
Thank you.
But it's hard to separate the two. It was disappointing.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Good to hear from your voice. Finally, we go to Georgia in Collierville. Georgia, you're on.
Hi there. I just want to tell you that I was at the game last night with my 80-year-old mother, who is a huge Grizzlies fan.
Yeah.
Is she, by the way, is she vaccinated?
Oh, heck yeah. We've been vaccinated. She said she'd walk around with a cotton swab and a needle herself as soon as she was ready to get the vaccine.
That's prepared.
But those young men played their heart out. First of all, the way they encourage each other and play together as far as friends, I think is a huge part of the chemistry. So when they don't pout after the game, the flip side of that is they bounce back and encourage each other. So I heard earlier guests talking about, you know, I wish they get all fired up. Well, then they end up whining and pouting, and it affects the next game.
I said I understand why some people want them to break chairs. I actually was okay with how they were after it. With your mother, the benefit of 80 years of wisdom, she's probably had some disappointments in her life. How did she take the loss?
I'm screaming my lungs out, and she turned over and said, "Now, baby, that was a well-played basketball game. They just happen to have a guy who's a little exceptionally good."
Yeah.
But that was a beautifully played basketball game, and it was. And one more thing, Melton is hurt because Dwight Howard landed on his leg.
That's an excellent point. It's Dwight's fault. That's an excellent point, Georgia.
Yep. Thank you, Georgia. We appreciate it. Your leg would be sore, too.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. That's
Georgia bringing some wisdom there.
That's Georgia in Collierville.
The Jeff Calkins Show. Listen live weekdays from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.